In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of your women.
Welcome to Comic Culture.
Welcome.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions, the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting 93.3, that's CFMU McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your frightful four.
But divided by two, but united in comic books.
Very well put, Chris.
Yes.
Chris,
yes.
Very
like
well
that?
Put. Yes, we are. We're united in comics. This is what brings
comics.
The team together. This
That's
is
right.
The crew, the gang.
Team.
We got young Andrew Roebuck here. We got our fill-in executive producer over here. And yourself and myself.
That's right. And so there really is four people here.
Yeah, we are. You know, we are the frightful four.
We are. That's right. Yeah, I like that. That's good. Some
All
more
right.
frightful than others.
Yes, rightfully so.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Walt, how you doing today? You looking good. You're looking a little tired. I know you're a little bit busy with kids hockey and all that stuff.
Kids hockey, yeah. Hopefully soon. Hey, Chris, you know, this is a topical show.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Not just about comics.
That's true.
Hopefully
true.
We'll get hockey.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, apparently the NHL was meeting today. Yeah.
Yes, they were. So let's.
No,
yes,
today or yesterday, somewhere around here.
Let's
I'm not
hope
too
sure. for the best. All
yeah,
right.
So,
Chris, but you know what? We're not here to talk hockey. This isn't TSN.
It's not?
You're not Bob McCowan.
No, I really am not.
No, yeah. And
he has more hair than I do.
Yeah, we're going to talk comics.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's get started then with talking about comics, and let's start with New This Week. And New This Week is brought to you by Halloween Special Comic Books. These should be mandatory for all comics. You should always have a mandatory special Halloween issue.
Remember those? And they used to do that way more.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. A
Remember
lot
like
more.
Like the Christmas special,
yeah,
the Halloween
lot,
special.
Yeah, yeah.
They used to do that way more. They don't do that.
Yeah,
anymore.
You know, I don't know why.
Yeah.
They should. I completely agree.
Yeah, good sponsor.
Good
I wonder
sponsor.
Who sponsored that. All right. Anyway.
All right. So for New This Week, we've got Justice League number 13.
Now, Justice League
reason,
number 13.
Now, before you grab it out of my hands, grabby there. This is by Jeff Johns, Tony Daniel, hold on a second here, and Richard Friend and Bat. Now, why did I choose this? I thought this is really interesting. Do you remember the character, the Cheetah, the famous, you know, Wonder Woman villain?
Of course, yes.
Now in the original, well, yeah, exactly. In the original incarnation, she was dressed as a cat. Like she had a cat suit on. Now
yes.
This is sort of the new incarnation. Is she's like this feral kind of cheetah like beast type person?
Yes, yes.
Now so
scary stuff.
Well, here's the thing. Here I am thinking. You know,
what were you thinking?
How can the cheetah possibly go up against? Like it's Justice League. It's not Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
It's Justice League. So what, Superman is gonna, you know.
You know, you hit the nail on the coffin,
I don't get
Chris.
It.
You hit the nail on the coffin totally. Because when I'm looking at this, I'm going, "There's the cheetah."
Yeah.
There's some cheetah.
Okay?
And there's Superman, all distressed and in trouble because the cheetah is attacking.
Here's a guy that can like move planets.
Yeah, and you know the cheetah.
Yeah,
and he's got Wonder Woman to help, and she's not even helping.
Well, okay, so this is a bit of a spoiler alert. I read the book.
Don't, yeah.
I read the book.
Okay,
and,
spoiler alert.
So you know,
spoiler
turn,
alert.
Turn the volume down for a second, and you know what? So the cheetah bites Superman, and Superman becomes a super cheetah type thing, and
right.
It's like a werewolf type thing. I didn't realize the cheetah had these kind of powers. It's like Cheetah Man, where
yeah.
Super Cheetah Man.
Oh,
I always
oh.
Cheetah Man.
Always Cheetah Man. Well, listen, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't get it.
Yeah, neither do I.
I don't get it.
I don't get it, but, you know, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, maybe Superman falls for her in a loving sort of way.
Oh, maybe, yeah, maybe.
Because that's just probably, like any man.
Yeah, well, it's
right?
True. That's yeah. Very good point.
So,
very good
all right.
Point. Well,
listen,
anyways.
Justice League number 13 from DC Comics with Cheetah.
Cheetah, all right.
Having soup, her way with soups.
Well, kind of, yeah, kind of.
At your local comic book store today.
Yes. So next up we've got Hawkeye. Now, this is a really great book. This
Hawkeye.
Is Matt Fraction and David Aja. And of course, Matt Hollingsworth is also doing the art. Normally, I don't like to mention the art, the colorist, but with this Hawkeye book, I gotta mention that Matt Hollingsworth art or coloring is phenomenal. It really suits the style of the book. It really suits David Aja's art. It's a great book. You know, it's I think they're trying to do kind of like a Daredevil-y kind of thing, but with Hawkeye, and it's working out really well because they're taking it on a different spin than they would normally with Daredevil. I don't know. I just really like it. I think it's a great looking book. I think it's a great story by Matt Fraction. It's just a good book all around.
Yeah, you got it. This is what you have to do with a title like Hawkeye. You have to. You cannot sell Hawkeye in the same vein you're selling Batman or
no.
even Daredevil
no.
or even Spider-Man.
No.
You have to give Hawkeye something different,
yeah.
something unique,
yeah.
a unique style, a unique look. The covers are all similar.
Extremely
that
unique.
Unique
yeah.
kind of Art Nouveau type.
Yeah,
style,
yeah.
I don't know what it is. But they're distinctive.
Yes.
And you're looking through inside here, and yes, you know, even the storytelling, I mean, the storytelling is storytelling, but yeah, the art is distinctive
the
and
art
the look
is like,
distinctive.
The art could be like a Vertigo book. Or the
yeah.
or like you know, geez, it kind of also reminds me a little bit of like a Gilbert and Jaime
and Sullivan musical
Hernandez oh. book, you know, like 11 Rockets kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's got it's called an alternative style to it,
right? Right.
But I really like it. I think it really looks
excellent.
Great.
Listen, Hawkeye number 3 for Marvel at your local comic book shop today. Check
all
it
right.
out.
Perfect. Now. Because Halloween is coming up, and
yes,
because there was most recently this past weekend the premiere of The Walking Dead, we of course have to have a Walking Dead comic in our review this week. And of course we have Walking Dead number 103.
103.
So, now, if you haven't been alive for the last few years, this is The Walking Dead. It's all about zombies, and it's by Robert Kirkman, Charlie Adlard. Wow, it's just a great book. You know what? It just continues the story on. I don't want to give too much away, but
don't give too much away.
Continues a great book. Now, before I go on, the interesting thing is, so every once in a while, Walking Dead will have a different cover
mm-hmm.
than their usual covers, and
right.
This one is interesting because it's by Chris Giarrusso. Now, if you're not familiar with Chris Giarrusso's artwork, he usually draws kind of like kitty style artwork. Like usually he kind of draws all the characters as if they're little kids,
right?
And it's sort of interesting because like he used to do you remember that like it would be like mini Spider-Man and mini,
yeah.
It's that same kind of style. So to see you know Rick drawn as like a kid and all these zombies as kind of kids and stuff like that, it's just kind of fun, right? And I think it's a great gimmick without it being a gimmick.
Right, right on. Yeah, it is a cool cover. Even the zombies are kind of
childlike.
Childlike.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you, Chris. I don't know. Like, Walking Dead, you know, it makes $1 trillion a month. The
yep.
Walking Dead comic book is very, very high seller. And,
yep.
and I would imagine why haven't they moved to color yet?
You know, that's a great question. I think I would imagine that people are so used to the black and the white. It's kind of like, why ruin a good thing?
Yeah, it's
right?
too late.
It's too late. It's not broken.
Right.
Right. So why are you trying to fix it? I don't even know if color would do it justice now, right? Because, you know, you'd have to have some really gory scenes and you kind of expect it to be kind of all muted in colors.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it would work as well.
Right, so okay, so Walking Dead in color isn't the same as Walking Dead in black and white.
No,
right.
No. However, Walking Dead, the color obviously in TV series is phenomenal.
Right, right.
But different kettle of fish there, right?
All right, so. All right. Okay, well, Walking Dead number 103, I'm sure people will be heading into the local comic book shops today for that one.
All right. And finally, you know, we've come to this point in our show. We don't always do a kid's pick of the week, but
we try.
But sometimes it's just nothing good.
There's not enough time in the day.
Yeah, it really isn't. Well,
that's what it is.
Here we are. We've got Sonic Universe issue number 45. And for those of you who are not aware of what that is all about, Sonic the Hedgehog, all the old Sega kind of characters, produced by Archie Comics. Pardon me, sorry. And it's just a great book. Sonic and Mega Man and all the other kind of Sega characters. It's just a great book. It's a lot of fun for kids.
I don't know why you reminded me of it, but so Sonic the Hedgehog, number 45, out today at your local comic book shop. Go check it out. But I was up at our Barry shop.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Last week. And I came across this little plush little animal.
Okay.
And I'm going, what the heck is this? He goes, well, that's a honey badger. I go, why do we sell honey badgers? Like, why do we sell a plush animal that's a honey badger?
Okay.
He goes, oh, haven't you seen the YouTube video for the honey badger? I go, no. Why would I?
Why would you? Yeah.
He goes, you got a couple minutes? I go, sure. So he takes me to a YouTube video, and it's like a natural, like a documentary. About 4.5 minutes on the honey badger. Okay. And the honey badger is like eating snakes, and it's like a badger out in the real, like he's attacking a snake and eating it.
Okay.
But there's this guy, and it's got like 70 million views or something like that.
Okay.
And there's this guy, and he's narrating it, and he's narrating like this. He goes, so I'm a honey badger. You see that poisonous snake? I don't care. What do I care? I'm a honey badger. I'll eat it. And it's like, it's just the stupidest thing in the world.
Really?
Absolutely the stupidest thing in the world. I laughed my head off for the whole thing, right? And now, like, they're selling stuffed honey badger animals.
It amazes me what people will come up with and what people will market after, right?
You know what? You know what amazes me is that I got somehow the honey badger out of Sonic the Hedgehog. Anyway, so all right, is all the new this week, right?
Yes, and for obviously there's all kinds of scads kinds of new comics,
plethora of new titles
coming out. So check your local comic book shop just to see something you might like.
Yes, excellent.
All right, well, let's switch on over to Musical Interlude and I've played it before. See if you remember what it is. Really know what that's from.
Well, that was like, I think either John Lennon or Paul McCartney said that after one of those Beatles songs.
Oh,
I think it was Paul. Paul McCartney, right?
Yes, it was.
Right.
It was
and he was playing so hard that he had blisters on his fingers.
Oh, you know what? Sometimes these references, they just go right over my head.
Yeah. You're too young, Chris.
Young Chris. Right. I'm not so young anymore. I used to be young Chris.
All right, young Chris. Listen, the Comic Culture Mailbag is what we're doing next.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Yes. And the Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by sexy superhero costume. So these guys are back. They did
last week. Right. Yeah.
Halloween is right around the corner. Why don't you want to be a slutty Vision? Visit your local comic book shop today.
Sometimes, wow. You know what?
There goes that check. Well, you gotta read these things.
Sometimes, Walt, you really are a slutty Vision.
Thanks, Chris. Gee, thank you. Remember that commercial?
Which
there was
one?
A commercial. They're in the elevator, and there's a guy. Like, there's a really nice woman, and there's a guy, and he's nervous, and he's about to ask her something, and then the lights go out, the power goes out.
Okay,
And then he says something. I forget how it goes, but he says something and the power comes on and there's a big construction worker standing there.
Oh, yeah,
and he goes, gee, thank you very much.
Yeah, I do. I don't remember what it's about or anything.
Anyway, so thanks. Thanks for calling me Slutty Vision.
All right, Walt. I think this one is really geared towards you for mailbag.
All right.
This is from Evan in Hamilton.
Evan.
Dear Walt, I read your post on CBD on Canadian comics. Are they really worth any money?
Right, Evan. Okay, yeah. I posted something last week, Chris, on Canadian Whites.
Okay.
Really quickly, okay?
What is a Canadian White?
It's a comic made in Canada specifically for Canadians during World War II.
And they're all white.
And they're all black and white.
So oh,
they're
okay.
Called
okay.
The Canadian Whites. And the story behind them, very quickly, because Evan read the post, is that Canada entered the war, right? And in late 1940, the Canadian government did the War Measures Act, which barred any non-essential goods from coming into the country.
Oh, okay, right.
And non-essential was deemed comic books.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, you and I weren't there to dispute this.
And was not. No. I would have, though.
Yeah, me too.
I would have marched on Parliament Hill.
So, by 1941, January, there was no Superman, no Batman, no Wonder Woman, no Flash, no Green Lantern, no flipping
anybody.
Sounds
horrible.
Yeah, nothing coming across the border. So what happened? A Canadian comic book industry sprung up overnight.
Right.
And so there's a few publishers, Maple Leaf out in Vancouver, Bell in Toronto, and Anglo-American in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
And over about a six-year period, they produced, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 titles
okay.
a month
okay.
max.
Yeah.
And in 1946, or 45, but 46, the War Measures Act was repealed.
Right.
American comics started coming in again. Wah, right? The Canadians
and
died
nobody
overnight.
Cares about Canadian comics
died
anymore.
Overnight.
Yeah.
Right? So,
now, hold on a second here. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you like to do that, but correct me if I'm wrong, but is this not where like characters like – did Johnny Canuck and Nelvana appear in these?
Yes.
Okay.
This is the beautiful part about the Canadian nostalgia of comic books. There, Nelvana of the Northern Lights, Johnny Canuck.
Nelvana's a polar bear, right?
Nelvana, no. She's a northern spirit.
I was joking.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Hello. Okay. Wow.
Northern spirit. Northern
right.
spirit. Okay. And
she's anyway. And you know what? Here's an interesting one, though. Here's a very interesting one. The very first Canadian superhero,
Superman.
Iron Man.
What? Iron Man.
Iron Man.
But hold on. Clearly, it's not the same Iron Man as the Stan Lee created Iron Man.
Clearly not.
Clearly not.
But maybe Stan took this. I don't know.
Oh. I think he was reading Canadian
Iron
Whites.
Man was the very first one, and he lived under the sea in an air bubble. And he fought Nazis, and he was he wore like a Tarzan, like a bathing suit.
Okay,
He was kind of Namor,
like a loincloth
yeah.
kind of thing.
He was kind of Namor, or like a Submariner.
Why was he called Iron Man then?
Because he was made of iron and nothing. He was indestructible.
Oh,
right. And he fought Nazis and sunk Nazi submarines.
Nice,
and stuff like
good
that.
For. Yeah. Oh, he fought Nazis like under the sea.
Yeah.
Oh,
he helped the Canadian
cool.
cause fighting Nazis.
Yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
Like
oh,
that.
That's
so,
funny. That's
but
interesting.
Anyway, this era and Evan, yes, they are worth money, but not. Enough.
Okay.
So there's a niche collecting community around these Canadian Whites. And it's going to grow. Evan, so if you ever find any, pick some up because there's a documentary coming out next spring, Chris, called Lost Heroes.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to be a documentary.
Now okay. Let's just say I don't know anything about comics.
Okay, let's say it. I won't dispute that at all. All right.
And let's just say I'm going through my local comic book shop's Golden Age books and How do I know what a Canadian white looks like? Like, do they have black and white covers as
no,
well?
No, they have color covers, but okay. They'll have inferior page quality. They're very pulpy kind of look.
So you got to do a bit of research.
Yeah, you got to do a bit of research. The main titles are stuff like Wow, Triumph, Better, you know, that kind of stuff.
So they're not easily seen.
They are,
as...
you know, once you see a few of them, they'll have a distinctive kind of theme and look to them, right? But generally not. But anyway, so Canadian whites are worth some money, but they're not worth anywhere near enough what they should be worth because really the world doesn't know how cool and unique this little strain of comic collecting is.
Oh, very cool. All right. I'm good with that.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
So that was Evan in Hamilton.
Excellent.
All right. Now let's go to industry news.
Industry news. So what are we going to do, Chris? Because you and I are so in tune.
Yes.
We really don't know. Does an interlude come here or do we keep
talking?
What?
Let's have a quick interlude here. Just before we get into industry news, because it's just sort of a nice little segue before we can get into that. And you know what?
Segue.
Here's one that's going to fit in with one of our next topics.
Everything's Archie's here. Betty's here. Veronica too. Reggie's here. Hey Jughead, where are you? We wanna dance and we wanna sing. Have some fun and go adventuring. All our friends are here, but it ain't complete. We ain't the Archies without the Jughead beat.
Well,
hey, everything is Archie.
Nice.
Yeah. Boy, Chris, it caught us by surprise because you and I, what we were doing, we were playing Parcheesi, what we usually do between things.
We usually do during our halftime.
During our halftime break during music.
Yeah,
hey, listen, Chris, let's get into industry news. And if I can find my sponsorship.
Industry news is brought to you by giving out comics on Halloween. Comics, not cavities. That's what kids need.
Excellent. You're absolutely right. You know, when you go to a house. Yeah, okay. You know, first of all, when my kids bring in their haul.
Yeah, do you check it over?
Oh, what do you mean check it over? I sample it. I have to make sure it's okay.
Right? Nice.
You know, I like the little Kit Kat ones.
Yeah,
I like
the
little Coffee Crisp ones.
What's your favorite?
Oh, Kit Kat and Coffee Crisp.
Yeah?
It has to have wafers.
Okay.
My chocolate has to have wafers.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I don't like the O. Henry.
Yeah, you don't like nuts.
I don't like nuts.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Especially the salty ones.
Yeah,
I hate salty nuts.
Know.
And what I hate, though, remember those little – they come in the clear plastic wrappers.
Okay.
And it's like a little tube and it's like
– Oh,
and there's
like rockets.
Yeah, 10 little candies that are side to side.
That's like pure,
I hate
that's
those.
Like pure sugar.
Oh, those are crap.
Yeah, I love those.
Oh, man. And it's like, they cost like 0.8 cents, I think, to give away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you like they come –
Well,
why,
when you get –
you take the address of that house. All right? I'm going to write her a letter. And then we won't go there next year.
Exactly. There you go.
But I'm saying that is more houses should give away a free comic.
I agree. Now, well, what do you give away at your house?
Those little things. Those
little rocket things.
Rocket things. What else would I give
collect
away?
Collect them up from years past.
I got a whole basement full of them.
Now, this is a little personal, but do you know what your kids are going dressed out, Buzz?
I have no idea. They don't pick until, like,
the day before.
Week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The day of.
But,
and you're going to go as Uncle Walt.
Yeah.
Here, put on my T-shirt.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Hey, why don't you go as a hockey player? But I am a hockey player, Dad. Anyway.
All right. Well, listen, we started the industry news with the Archie theme song. For a reason.
Yeah.
Did you know? Okay. First of all, I know you don't watch a lot of TV, but are you familiar with the TV show Glee? Now, Glee, you know, it's the singing and dancing TV show where it's kind of like the Fame of 2012.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've seen like clips of it. It's like that kid Ephraim Zimbalist, I think, is on there, right?
uh, sure. Yeah. I don't think so.
He's like a Justin Berber type kid. Yeah, he's got the hair and stuff like that.
There's always a Justin Berber type kid.
No, he's got the hair. He's got the coif. He's got the nice blonde coif. Sure. He's a good looking kid. Sure, you know. Yeah. And he's a singer and a dancer, right?
All right. Well, anyways.
Our listeners know who I mean.
Okay. And well, Glee has become very popular.
Yeah.
And it's actually, you know, it's gone all over. It's popular all over the world. There's even like a musical stage show that people go to. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Glee is teaming up with Archie to have a Archie and Glee storyline.
Right.
So there's going to be the producer and writer of Glee, Roberto
Alomar.
Agrasacasa. I know I'm saying that wrong. And artist from Archie, Dan Parent, are going to be teaming up to do this comic. And basically it's going to be a great big Archie / Glee crossover.
Well, Chris, this is what I think. That's a great idea.
Yep.
And I love the crossovers. It's like, honestly, it's a great idea, and it's like the cross – anytime you can cross – it's like a cross promotion.
Yeah,
really,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
What I'd like to see, though, too, is I'd like to see the Archie characters portrayed in the Glee.
So,
a Riverdale High School gang is coming
Wouldn't
over.
That be something?
You know what I mean?
Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. Riverdale comes over with their Glee Club.
Yeah.
And they compete against the Glee Club.
Yeah, and then you got Archie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
Whatever they're called.
Yeah,
and,
perfect. I love it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, would be cool. I mean, this is a great idea. This is a great idea bringing Glee into comics.
Yes, yes.
But to bring Archie into Glee
would
be even just like...
Great idea.
Over the moon.
That's a million-dollar idea.
Million-dollar idea.
All right.
That is good, though.
Okay, so we got some sad news, sadly.
Yeah, we do, Chris. We do.
Now,
we have to report it.
We do have to report it. Mark Swayze, do you know who he is?
No, I don't.
Okay, so Mark Swayze is an early comic book artist and writer for Fawcett Publications. Mm-hmm. He died a couple days ago at the age of 99. He was 99 years old.
Good
now,
for him.
Now Mark Swayze, he co-created Mary Marvel and Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel. No.
Mary Marvel for sure.
Mary Marvel for sure. Sorry, he worked on Captain Marvel. Sorry,
right,
that's what
right,
it was.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
yeah. So
right. That goes way back into the 40s, right? Golden Age of comics?
1942.
Right, yeah. Oh, that is, wow, you know what? Like, listen, I mean, 99 years old. You know what, though? He was in, right after the Big Bang. Chris,
Bang.
And then you had that interstellar cloud.
Yeah.
And then all the stars are forming. Action One for superheroes was kind of like the Big Bang.
That's right. That's
and for the next 5 years, really, with like all the creativity and all the writing, and then all like guys like Mr. Swayze were in on creating all these new superheroes because everybody figured out, hey, people like superheroes.
Yes.
And so that first 5 years, there was like a billion superheroes and everything like that. And Mary Marvel was actually one of the more popular superheroes of the 1940s.
And stuck around till today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, Mary Marvel was actually super popular and during the war. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the Fawcett ones. Now, back in the golden age of comics in the 40s, you had DC with their Superman and their Batman and their Wonder Woman and their Green Lantern and Flash, right?
Right.
But you had Timely, which is kind of like today's Marvel.
Yeah, so you had like Human Torch, Namor.
Yeah, Submariner, Namor, Captain America, right?
Yeah.
But then you had Fawcett.
Yeah.
And Fawcett, his main character was, Shazam,
Captain Marvel,
and stuff like that. Now, DC hardly really kind of entered the war on their covers, on the comic covers. There was very rare that you had a Superman war cover, a Batman war cover. Whereas Marvel, almost everyone.
Everyone, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, Captain America was all about the war, right?
Yeah. And Fawcett was kind of like in between.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Mary Marvel spent a lot of time fighting Nazis and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
So it's sad to see the passing of Mr. Swayze. But hey, listen, we should all get to 99.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Now, all right, now, Walt.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I mean, the next one we're going to talk, I wanted to ask you about
this. Oh, all right, sorry.
I saw this online. Actually, our producer, Anthony Falcone, posted this post on comicbookdaily.com, and it was about this Marvel versus Capcom Origins.
Right. Now, I know you're not much of a video game guy, right?
No.
So
I read this and I was confused because from the way I'm reading this, so this company that produces this is they've re-released games from 1995 and 1999.
Yeah.
They've re-released Marvel Superheroes from 95 and Marvel vs. Capcom Clash of the Superheroes from 99.
Right.
And they've re-released it as Marvel vs. Capcom Origins.
Right.
Then I asked you before the show, I go, so what did they do? Did they go in and redo all this? And you said no.
No. Well, I mean, they're going to make the game available for the PlayStation or Xbox. It'll be playable. But really, it's going to have that same look as it did in the 1990s.
Why would anybody play it then? It's like the crappiest graphics ever,
that's like saying, why would you go back and play Pac-Man, right? You know, there are...
It's awesome. Chris, what are you talking about?
Exactly. But there is a nostalgia for going back to playing these kind of games, especially these ones. You got to remember, so in 1995 and in 1999, arcades were still popular back then, right?
Yeah.
So people were still going to arcades to play games, video games, you know, and these were actually arcade video games. So you went there and you played Marvel Superheroes and you tried to beat up Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And then now Marvel versus Capcom Clash of the Superheroes. So Marvel has their own, bunch of superheroes. Well, Capcom was the video game maker that did Street Fighter and a number of other different games.
Yeah. Sure.
So they actually had their own sort of, canon of characters. So they decided to take the most popular characters from Capcom and the most popular characters from Marvel and have them go together and basically have this one big video game where they could fight each other. So it was actually a very cool idea. Yeah, at the time.
All right.
Now this comes on the heels of Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which is the latest incarnation of the fighting games with Marvel and Capcom.
So this, I would imagine, the graphics on this thing would be way
better. Awesome graphics, right? Yeah, awesome graphics. Yeah, because the other ones, the Marvel vs. Capcom Origins is actually a downloadable game.
Oh,
so you
okay.
actually
right, yeah,
you can
yeah.
get it through the internet, you know, through your PlayStation,
through your Xbox.
Arcade
yeah. or PlayStation Network.
That's right. So whereas Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and then there's a DC one version of it called Injustice Gods Among Us, and that's where you can play Superman and Wonder Woman. And
okay, so remember last week we were talking about video games declining,
yes.
and stuff like that.
Yes.
Do you like? I mean, you're a gamer.
A little
bit.
Do
you think the games taking the comic books, like adapting the comic book characters into the games?
Right.
Obviously, from what I understand, it's not as popular as, let's say, a World of Warcraft,
yes.
Or a Halo.
Right.
In your opinion as a gamer, are the games that adapt comic books, are they good?
So, yes. The short answer for that is yes. I mean, there are some games that are terrible. There are some games that are bad. But for the most part, the games that adapt comic books are pretty good. I mean, Batman Arkham Asylum and Arkham City is probably one of the greatest games I've ever played.
Bar none, right?
I mean, and, the Spider-Man games are fun. On the edge, I think it's called the Edge of Time. And there's an amazing Spider-Man game that came out based on the movie. You know, there's lots of great video games out there based on comic books. And, mind you, there are some bad ones. I played, you'll never believe this, there was actually an Aquaman game once. It was terrible. Oh, it was terrible.
Wow.
It was basically, you wanted two buttons, swim and talk to fish. You know, talk to fish, swim. Talk to fish.
Wow.
You know, it was pretty terrible.
What'd you do more of?
Talk to fish.
Talk to fish, fair enough. It's like, right, you're a social guy.
Well, yeah, right? Even with fish.
All right.
But anyways, the video games on the whole are still popular. Talking about the downswing of video games, I was thinking about that the other day. I think one of the main reasons is there's not a whole lot of new ideas coming out in video games, right?
Right.
There's, you've got... the medieval type game where there's sword and sorcery and all that kind of stuff. There's lots of those.
Conan.
Yeah, there's lots of those out there. There's lots of war games out there. There's lots of fighting games out there.
Conan.
But really, nothing has come out that's anything new.
Right.
So, fair enough, yeah. What's the point?
Yeah. Right? Fair enough.
Anyways, all right. Yeah.
All right, listen, let's keep it moving, Chris. So you and I didn't go, and we wanted to go, to the New York City Comic Con.
Yeah, I would have loved to have gone to that.
I just went this past weekend, yeah. And attendance figures are out. So how's 116,000 people through the doors for the four days?
That's incredible. That's the, you know, for a four-day show, so yeah. That's over, I mean, on average, over, you know, 30,000 people. Over 25,000, but
Almost 30,000. 30,000. So 116,000 the attendance. Yeah. Now, I believe my information is correct, the San Diego Comic-Con, that building has about 125,000 capacity,
right.
Which they fill out every year.
Yes, yes.
And I remember the city of San Diego had signed a kind of five-year extension for them because San Diego as a city is smart because they need the tourism.
Yeah, they
want
to keep
that. That's a
keep
huge
the show
thing,
there,
right?
Absolutely.
Because they were thinking of moving because San Diego realized that the space isn't enough,
yeah.
Right?
They need to build a better, bigger convention center.
Exactly.
Right?
And, you know, by next year, New York City Comic Con may be the largest Comic Con in the world.
It wouldn't surprise me. Now, I'm bad with figures. Now, I know you know them a little bit better than I do. Do you remember what the Chicago show is like and what Fan Expo is like?
I got Fan Expo. Our friend Kevin Boyd, who helps put on Fan Expo, he mentioned something in around 90,000+.
Okay, so it's up there.
Yeah.
It's up there.
I think it's the third or fourth. Toronto is the third or fourth largest pure comic book convention, comic book pop culture convention in North America.
Yeah.
Right. New York's put up impressive numbers. But I guess here's my philosophical question on all this. Where does this end?
Well, yeah.
Where does this end?
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, you just, like,
it gets
every
bigger
year,
and bigger,
they get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, which is great because it shows that clearly we've been on to something for a long time that people are just getting interested in now, right?
Right.
But I think there's a couple of problems. One is accessibility, right? So
yeah.
New York is a great city, very accessible to a lot of people.
Public transit, subway.
That kind of thing, right? I still say that I still say Las Vegas has got to have a show.
Yeah,
you know what?
You're right. Las Vegas.
How fun would that be to go to Las Vegas, go gambling, and then, you know, you go to, I don't know, Caesar's Palace,
mm-hmm.
let's say, and then you're going to see, all of a sudden, you're going to walk down, and all of a sudden, you're going to see Spider-Man and the White Queen playing slots.
Well, that would be awesome.
Right?
That would be awesome.
I mean, slot machines.
Slots, yeah. I understood you.
Yeah.
No, that would be super.
Right?
And you could see, you know what comics are good at?
What's that?
Crossovers.
Yes. I think we just talked about that. Yeah.
Comics are going to cry. So can you imagine like a Cirque du Soleil Marvel crossover?
Oh, I would love to see
where
that.
Where you have those nice girls swinging around on those drapes
and trapezes
stuff. Which,
and stuff like that.
No, those stupid ribbons.
Those, yeah.
Where
they're
the dumbest thing ever.
No.
Like, what the hell?
why
am I paying $800 for this? Anyway, now, if you saw Spidey.
Now, that would be something.
Yeah, that'd be different.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So, Vegas is full of
possibilities. And tell me that Las Vegas wouldn't profit with all the, I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. No, I get it.
Single men
coming
to Las Vegas.
Coming to Las Vegas.
Yes. Exactly.
All right. So anyway, kudos to the organizers
of
the New
York absolutely, Con. Yes. They've done a great job.
Onward and upward for comic book conventions. And listen, if you're listening and you haven't been to a comic book con, first of all, shame of you. Okay?
Right.
Really. Where have you been? What are you thinking? Right.
Right.
And secondly is you can still right your wrongs by checking out, I think, comicbookconventions.com, right?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Check out the schedule for next year. I guarantee you anybody living in North America has a comic cook convention.
Comic cook?
Yeah. At least coming through their part of the country within, say, a two-hour drive. I would say that covers 90% of the population.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
So there's no excuse not to hit a comic book con. Next year, if you haven't hit one this year.
I completely agree. Now, you know what? Let's have a musical interlude. We haven't played this one in a little while. The old Imperial March.
Mm-hmm. Is it over?
It's over, yeah. All right.
That is excellent, Chris. What's that called again?
The Imperial March.
The Imperial March.
Do you know
that's
what that's
from?
The
Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Star Wars?
Yeah. It's Darth Vader's
Darth
theme.
Vader, I know. Yeah. Boba Fett and those guys. Yeah, I love them.
Boba Fett.
Yeah. They are. That's a good movie. I remember that when that came out.
Did you see it when you were a little kid kind of thing?
I saw it when I was 13.
13 years old.
13
wow.
years
Look at
old.
That.
That's
fantastic.
1977.
Yeah.
I remember it was called the Center Mall Cinema.
Oh, is that where you saw it?
Yeah. And I thought it was pretty good movie.
Yeah.
I really, really
well,
liked
you,
it.
You and millions of other people thought the same thing.
Anyway,
I saw it at the Tivoli Theater.
I remember the Tivoli, yes. Didn't they used to show porno movies or something?
No, that was the Showcase.
Oh, right. Yeah. That was the Playhouse.
Showcase, Playhouse, yeah. Not that that closed up long before.
Yeah, you know what? You still have that Employee of the Month thing for Playhouse, don't you? I know you do. You have it framed somewhere. All right, Chris, let's go. Let's keep moving on. Let's talk about Disney.
All right, let's talk about Disney, okay.
Slate's Ant-Man.
Sure.
For November 2015.
Yes.
So, hey, Ant-Man. 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 He's getting his own movie.
Now, here's the thing. The Ant-Man movie has been in the works for like a decade, right? It's been maybe a century.
Yeah.
Probably a century, yeah. It's been a long time. Now, the only reason why I think it's still going is the people that are working on it, Edgar Wright is the guy that
Burroughs.
Did... Edgar Wright Burroughs.
Yeah.
That's right. Edgar Wright directed Shaun of the Dead and Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and now he's been working on this Hank Pym movie. He says since 2006.
Yeah,
now,
that's a long time coming.
Long time. Now,
but, hey, listen, I don't care because we're getting it.
Well, yeah, and
sounds like we're getting
Simon
it.
Pegg is supposed to be in it as well, and he's
Simon.
Right, now Simon's been in Shaun of the Dead, and he was in Hot Fuzz. That's right, and I think he was also in Run, Fat Boy, Run.
What a great movie that was.
Yeah, good movie. Yeah.
Listen, Ant-Man, remember we were talking about, is it going to be a big budget movie? Like, remember Marvel was saying they're going to do a whole bunch of them at around $30
million? Yeah.
Is this going to be one of them?
I hope it's a little bit more than a small budget movie.
Like, yeah.
Because really, it's going to have some pretty cool special effects.
I think
you know?
So. But, you know, Ant-Man, come on.
Riding ants and things like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's going to have to have a somewhat big budget. Just to get the
Are they going to tie this in? Because Marvel likes to tie it into other.
That's the thing. I'm assuming, is this an actual Marvel Disney movie, or is this something that's I'm assuming it is.
No, it's a Marvel Disney movie.
So it technically could be part of the rest of the Marvel canon of movies.
There's so
right?
much, Chris. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
There is so much synergies, or there are so much. I'm so confused.
There are so many synergies.
Yeah, what you said.
Yeah.
In Marvel, whatever movie they make of these characters,
single characters,
they have to. Just the chance to tie him into another movie is so lucrative for
absolutely,
them because it
absolutely.
Builds on the other movie
yeah,
then.
For sure.
So they're going to have to tie it to something. Now, you and I would assume that it's going to be Avengers in some way.
Well, you'd think, right? Because Ant-Man was an Avenger, so why not?
But it'll be after Avengers 2.
Right.
But
right.
So will Ant-Man be in Avengers, and will Avengers 2 maybe, set up the Ant-Man movie?
It's a very good possibility.
Right.
Maybe he'll be in the Avengers movie, and then there'll be an Ant-Man movie after that.
Right. Maybe there'll be a subplot in the Avengers 2 movie, which will branch off into the Ant-Man movie.
I would like that. I would like to see that.
Yeah, so would I. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe you said you would.
All right. Anyways, Ant-Man movie coming up. Can't wait to see it.
Right.
Speaking of movies and or TV series.
Yeah.
Walking Dead season 3 premiere sets new records.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Now I know you're a Walking Dead fan.
Yes, I am.
And I know you've watched the AMC up to date.
I am up to date
on end of series 2.
Yep. No, I've seen all.
What's it called? Season 2.
Season 2 is done. This is now season 3, and I saw the latest episode on the Sunday.
So you were part of this.
I was part of the. Yes, I was. I was part of the 10 million viewers, whatever it is.
What'd you think?
I thought it was great. You know what? Yeah, the series, in my opinion, has gone a little bit downhill from the very first season. Now, right. However, this latest episode is just as good as any episode that was in season two.
Right.
Right. You know,
right.
I'm not saying it's not. And the whole of season two wasn't as good as the whole of season one, but you had double the budget. Right for each episode, mm-hmm. So more, which means more zombies and all that kind of stuff. Whereas this one, it was still good. It was very cool.
Chris, whenever you have a problem,
yep.
Whenever the ratings are down, just throw more zombies. More zombies. That's the solution for pretty well all life's troubles.
If life gets you down, more zombies.
More zombies. Yeah. Right on. Yeah. All right. So bodes really, really, really well.
Yes.
For comic book shops.
Absolutely.
You know, you and I champion the comic book shop. Right?
Yep.
The better Walking Dead does, the more Walking Dead graphic novels are sold.
That's right.
The more comic shops will benefit.
Well, yeah, and the more people will come in to buy Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And let's hope that they may buy something else and or a different graphic novel.
Well, sample something else. Yeah. I really like The Walking Dead. You know, what else can you suggest to me?
Yeah.
Well, if you like The Walking Dead, try the Smurfs, pal.
Yeah, exactly. Your daughter will love this.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I don't get?
What don't you get?
Well, here's what I don't get.
I know what you don't get, but that's personal?
Yeah, you know, let's not go there,
okay, all right?
All
right, go ahead.
You know what I don't get? I don't understand the Talking Dead TV series.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing.
Okay.
I'm reading this, too, and it's like there's a Talking Dead TV talk show. Yeah, after.
About the Walking Dead, and it's called
and
The Talking Dead.
Basically... Because people are lazy, right?
Yeah.
And I think they're even too lazy to press the converter button.
They must be.
Yeah. Because they're just so pumped.
Yes.
Oh, man. Did you see? Oh.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, so awesome.
Did you see the arm come off? It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So then they want to hear some schmucks talk about it, right?
But, okay, you know.
So, it's just, well, I'm on that train of
all
thought.
Right,
you know,
right.
You and I need something way more popular than our show on before our show. You know what I'm saying?
This Week in Porn.
Yeah, This Week in Porn.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Everybody's listening to it and going, oh, that was awesome.
And then they just don't change the channel.
And then it's just like, okay, now Chris and Walt are going to talk about Smurfs. and then we get the CFMB call. Man, you guys are ratings are rocketing.
We're going to give you
what are you guys doing?
Two Hall of Fame plaques.
Yeah. So that's what we need, too. We need you hear that, CFMU? Put a porn show on before us. Please.
I want to know how a radio show would do about porn.
It would be all sound effects, wouldn't it? Remember remember those old radio shows, Picture in Your Mind?
Yeah.
Close your eyes. Except it would be some sort of sexy, you know.
Yeah, I hope it wouldn't be you.
Female voice. Wouldn't be you or I.
No. But my point is, I just don't get.
You had a point?
Yeah. I don't understand how people would want to just watch people talk about TV series that just occurred.
Well, you know what, though? In all honesty, if they're really pumped about it, they'll want to watch.
Right. Fair enough. All right.
All right. Let's keep it moving, Chris.
Keep moving here. Okay. So New York Comic Con appeared on the weekend.
No, we already talked about
that. Okay, but I got more news.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what I was going to talk about earlier. Then you went to Disney. So
I am so sorry.
Okay. So New York Comic Con on the weekend. At the New York Comic Con, there's a couple different panels, and one of these panels was about Joss Whedon.
Gosh.
Preparing a Marvel TV series called S.H.I.E.L.D. So basically, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. with Nick Fury and all those guys. Well, there's going to be a new TV series, and apparently Joss Whedon is going to help talk about it and develop this TV series. And it's going to have Agent Phil Coulson in it. Now, for those of you who have not seen the Avengers movie, first of all, shame on you. But for those of you that have seen it, you are aware that Agent Coulson dies in the movie. So there is a lot of speculation as to how he is going to be in this new series. So is this series going to take place before the movie?
Sure.
Is Agent Phil Coulson going to be an android in the series? And is it going to take place after the Avengers?
Turn into a Vision?
Turning into the Vision.
Mm-hmm.
Vision? So nobody really – or did he even die? Right?
Right.
Did he even,
because I never really seen him die. I seen him get shot.
He got stabbed, right?
Stabbed.
With that thing.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah. So,
I actually saw the movie.
I know you did. I know you did.
There's a lot of shooting.
There really was. So, So they don't really know. They're not letting on as to what the show is going to or how his role is going to be in the show.
I hate it when they don't let on.
Yeah.
I hate it.
But anyways.
That's very exciting. Very exciting. Where do you think, you know, like S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yeah.
It's like espionage, gadgets, cool, James Bond.
Right.
Right. Jason Bourne.
Did you ever see, no, you probably didn't, but I'll ask anyways. Did you ever see the Alias TV series with Jennifer Garner?
No.
All about CIA,
and,
you know, different operatives, and she's
always going,
you know, a show like that, but with S.H.I.E.L.D., like, why not?
No. And can you imagine? I'm sure that, what's the guy's name that plays the S.H.I.E.L.D. commander?
Nick Fury.
What's the actor's name?
Samuel Jackson.
You know, hey, I'll come on there and as a cameo and I'll
help you guys out,
stuff like that. You know, I mean, that would be
super
cool.
And then, you know, why not have, you know, the guy, I don't remember his name, the guy that played Hawkeye, because he's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. And then Black Widow can come
Black
on.
Widow.
Scarlett Johansson, right?
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Cow.
Cow.
I just want to see who you
people. She can come on, too. I mean.
Keep repeating what I say.
Cow. Chris, I remember sitting around a dinner table once. We're the family together, and in my culture, what happens is that when you marry your daughter, you have to give like a dowry.
To the
husband's side.
Right.
Right. And usually in the old days, in my dad's days, my grandfather's days, it was like, you know, livestock.
Right.
And then we had my brother-in-law, we were sitting around dinner table. This is years ago. My sister was there, everybody was there, and we said, you know, and we were talking about this dowry. You know, it's called miras.
Okay.
In thing. And
miras.
Miras. And you know, 8 sheep, 4 cows, whatever
right,
the heck
right,
it was.
Right.
I don't know. And somebody goes to my brother-in-law Bob. I go, Bob, you know, how many cows did you get for your dowry? And he says, 1 was enough for me. Oh man, Chris, we were all on the floor except my sister.
Oh,
for some reason she took offense. I'm not sure why.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm more curious as to, you know, how you guys have all these, you know, great Serbian names, and then there's Bob.
Bob. Wow. long story.
Oh, all right.
Anyway, yeah. So this is cool.
Yes.
I'm looking for.
Me too.
I would watch.
Wow.
TV series.
Oh, really?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Really?
It would be very, very cool.
Okay, now hold on. Wait, you're turning the page there. Yeah, we haven't. Are we going to talk about Jim Lee and Scott Snyder?
Sure, we are.
Okay.
Who wouldn't want to talk about Jim
Lee?
Okay,
well, Jim Lee and Scott Snyder are now talking about their new Superman comic. It's as yet unnamed Superman title, but will be debuting in 2013. Now, for those of you who are in the know, you know that. Scott Snyder recently had his giant epic storyline in Batman called Court of Owls. And hugely popular.
Yeah.
So now he's basically had to talk his way into having this.
He wants to do
giant
a Superman thing.
Superman story. That's right.
Something
that's
Superman.
Right. So a hugely popular character, writer rather, and it is going to be Superman's 75th anniversary. Now, but here's the thing.
Here's the thing, Chris. What's the thing?
You know, 75th anniversary of a character that doesn't exist anymore. Right?
Excuse me?
Well, in the current incarnation, Superman is not the same as it was. Even 2 years ago.
I know, but you know what
right?
I mean.
So how is it a 75th anniversary?
But of the name, you know.
Okay,
you know
but I'm just saying,
premise,
you know.
The premise.
Sure, the premise,
right.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though.
Okay, here's the thing.
Superman needs something.
Okay.
Okay. He needs something. He needs a story arc, a redefining storyline. People have – there's no superhero – that's been dropped. The ball has not been dropped as much with Superman as with any other.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? You can't write Superman. Superman is impossible to write.
Yes.
Look at Batman. Batman is hitting that new Joker story arc that's coming.
Yeah,
out with
Batman. Yeah.
Through the roof.
Yeah.
Sell out at every single comic store in North America.
Yeah.
Really.
Just
rocking it. Right. People are the Court of Owls.
People love
Batman.
That one.
They're loving Batman.
Yes,
they were loving Green Lantern.
Yes,
nobody's got the love for Superman.
Why? Why is that?
I don't know.
And
they can't write.
That?
They can't figure out how to write Superman.
Well,
I think that's a part of it.
You know,
you got this guy that's just kind of omnipotent and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And then how do you write him?
Well, okay. And here's the thing. So I've always said, in order to have a great superhero, you need to have a great supervillain.
Right? Yeah.
Right? Because, okay, The Flash. Yeah. That guy runs fast. But, man, his rogues gallery.
Yeah.
Captain Cold, Mirror Master.
Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze. Yeah. Or, you know, what's his name? I said Captain Cold already. But,
Cheetah.
no, not Cheetah. Well, even like, you know, anyways, Gorilla Grodd and all those guys, right?
Yeah,
so
Gorilla
great,
Grodd.
Great supporting cast. Now, Spider-Man, great character.
Oh.
But also has a great supporting cast.
Batman, too.
Batman, yeah. Great character, great supporting cast. Superman, great character.
Lex Luthor,
Lex Luthor, maybe.
But he's just a...
Bizarro, yeah. Brainiac, bleh, and then it goes downhill. Metallo, maybe.
Yeah.
Parasite, maybe. It kind of goes downhill, right?
So
they need to come up with another, like a dark side-ish type character who's going to be only Superman's villain. Like Doomsday. Doomsday, great character, but one-off kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But they need
an
ongoing super villain character that will challenge Superman to make him a great character again.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You know, we need, but you know, comic books need because you know, Superman's living off of his past, right? Superman's living off of the residual of him being the first,
right?
And the most important,
yeah, absolutely.
Right? And had he been introduced in 1942, after 17 other superheroes,
yes,
we might not have Superman anymore.
Absolutely. Well, what we would have is probably Captain Marvel.
Right? Yeah,
because Captain Marvel was outselling Superman back in the day.
Right,
right. But then there's
all
kinds of lawsuits and stuff.
Right,
anyways,
Chris,
what do we have any time left here? Are we out of time? We got a few minutes here left. Hold on, we got a few minutes.
Let's talk about that. Hey, you were talking to me about a heist earlier.
Yeah, hold on.
Where is that?
I got to find that here. Oh, here we go. So Arthur Sudum, you know, speaking of zombies, Arthur Sudum.
Speaking of zombies.
Well, okay. So Arthur Sudum is the Marvel cover artist for all the Marvel zombies, right?
Yeah.
So unfortunately, now this show gets listened to by at least 12 people across North America and in England.
And England.
And, you know, so if you're one of the 12, if you happen to know of anybody that has recently come into possession of a new piece of Arthur Sudum artwork, well, apparently it was stolen. Arthur Sudum had his studio broken into, and he had a gouache painting called Alien Genocide, which was stolen. And probably, you know, I love Arthur Sudum, but probably more importantly, he had a Frank Frazetta sketch called Little Devil, which, you know, Frank Frazetta sketches are pretty hard to come by.
Frazetta
right?
is so, one of the giants of the 20th century's fantasy
illustrators. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So he had these two pieces of artwork stolen. So if you know anything about it, it would be great if you could contact Arthur Sudum. Yeah.
Hey, bud.
Yeah.
Want to buy a hot gouache?
You said gouache, right?
Gouache.
Yeah.
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 I got a deal for you. All right. Well, listen, anybody has any kind of suspicious artwork at all, you report it, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. What exactly is suspicious artwork?
I don't know.
Pretty suspicious artwork.
Yeah,
you got.
I don't know. Yeah.
Is that a little devil you got underneath that trench coat of yours?
No. Man, I don't know what the artist got for that there, bud, but you should have got life.
Hey-o.
Alrighty,
that Flintstones reference, let's... unfortunately, we have no more time left.
All right, where's that page where I talked to?
I don't know.
Hey, look, Chris, you stall them while I look for the page.
unfortunately, that is all the time that we have.
All right, and Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone, engineered by our man Andrew Robach over here to my left. And for comments and suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and scroll to the comments field and add your comments. And hear us at getthepointradio.com as well.
And don't forget, the only good comic is a well-read comic.
Oh, very good, Chris.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very true.
Very true, yes.
And listen, and you can read your comics and buy them to read by supporting your local comic book shop.
And go out and have yourself a great day.